Sending the bill.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Tess Vigeland. The Senate is scheduled to vote today on an emergency spending bill for two wars and the ongoing hurricane relief effort. Congress has carved out $94.5 billion. Two-thirds of that will pay for the wars through September, bringing that total tab to $410 billion. Legislators from the Gulf states can't wait to bring their state's share of the money home. For example, $3.7 billion is set aside for flood control in Louisiana. The devil's in the details when it comes to drafting legislation on security at the nation's chemical plants. The Senate committee leading that task deleted the most contentious details of a proposal yesterday, and that leaves some questioning what exactly is left over. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
One of the casualties of yesterday's negotiations would have required chemical plants to use less hazardous materials if the option was both available and economical. Rick Hind with Greenpeace says the reasoning behind the amendment was simple.
If we've switched to safer chemicals, nothing catastrophic can happen to the community.
The government estimates that tens of thousands of people could be killed if a terrorist attacked a chemical plant in a populated area. Hind says unless Congress addresses the deadly nature of the chemicals used at those plants, that risk isn't going to go away. The American Chemistry Council says these efforts to mandate safer technologies are part of an environmental agenda, not the debate over security. The council's members have spent nearly $3 billion on security improvements since 9/11. And while it supports a federal security standard, the council says decisions about chemistry should be left to the chemists. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
I decline to answer on grounds that doing so would violate my Fifth Amendment rights against self-incrimination. That phrase, or something approximating it, was a popular one with former New York Stock Exchange chief Dick Grasso last year. Grasso took the Fifth more than 150 times during a deposition in a case involving insurance group AIG. The SEC is looking into whether Grasso pressured certain floor traders to boost AIG's stock price. Also on Wall Street, more lawsuits are expected against companies that allegedly backdated stock options for executives. At least 40 companies are the focus of a federal investigation into the practice. Marketplace's Janet Babin has the latest.
Lots of companies offer executive stock options as part of their compensation package. But what looks fishy is when an executive grabs the options retroactively at the lowest price and reaps a huge profit later. Jordan Goodman calls it brazen theft. He wrote the book Reading Between the Lies about Wall Street scandals. He says backdating stock options is more widespread than prosecutors realize.
I think when they start getting into it, they're going to see many, many, probably hundreds of technology companies have been involved in doing these stock option grants at prices that are just completely unfair to the average shareholder, but wildly profitable for executives.
The Justice Department says those found guilty of manipulating stock options could face prison time. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
A jump in trading late in the day yesterday sent the Dow up 110 points, just over 1% to finish at 10,817. It was the largest one-day surge in more than a month. The S&P gained 6 points, about half a percent, to end at 1230. And the NASDAQ closed 13 points higher at 2086. This is Marketplace. United Airlines cut wages, pensions, and other costs to get out of bankruptcy in February. So all the restructuring pain should be over, right? Well, it's not. The carrier just announced it's eliminating even more jobs. Ashley Melentai does more.
United is laying off 11% of its salaried workers and cutting millions in other costs. Aviation consultant Michael Boyd says these moves show the airline still doesn't have its act together.
United's main competitors, American, Continental, even Delta, are starting to make operating profits. United is still having operating losses. So I don't know what they did for 3 years in Chapter 11, but obviously it didn't do the trick.
He says while competitors announce plans for lucrative new routes,
we don't hear any really substantive plans for United Airlines.
Boyd says despite the turmoil of the last few years, the airline has been able to maintain employee morale and quality customer service, but he doubts the current leadership can capitalize on these strengths. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
This is American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to 4 customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com. By Picture House, presenting the Robert Altman film A Prairie Home Companion, with a cast that includes Woody Harrelson, Lindsay Lohan, and Meryl Streep. Now in theaters. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Tess Viglund. There seems to be no doubt at this point that the Federal Reserve will raise interest rates at its next meeting in 2 weeks. This week's inflation figures pretty much guaranteed that. It would be the 17th straight rate hike. But how bad is the inflation picture, really? I put the question to our economics editor, Chris Farrell.
If you look at the numbers, they're not that nerve-wracking. They're not the sort of numbers of 5, 6, 7% where you'd be ripping your hair out and saying, oh, my God, this is the 1970s all over
Let's
again.
Let's not do that.
Oh, we're not doing that. We're looking at the core rate of inflation, and it is above the Fed's comfort zone, which is somewhere between 1 and 2%. But I think what's been going on is, what's that cliche, you know, be careful what you wish for?
Right.
The market has been worried and worried about inflation, and there are good reasons for it, high energy prices being a good example. And we have a new Fed chairman, and, you know, he was just making some comments that made people confused. Well, all of a sudden, the Fed chairman decided, you know what? I'm a tough guy. Let's not be confused about anything.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 7 days, seven Fed governors. I mean, they're spanning all over the United States, and they're all giving basically the same speech, preaching from the same choir, and they're saying, we are worried.
And Chris, it's not just here in the U.S. where the Fed is talking tough about inflation. You had the European Central Bank raise interest rates last week, and other central banks around the world thinking that this is a problem as well.
Everybody is talking tough against inflation. They decided that this is the problem. By the way, since they've been talking tough against inflation, Bloomberg has his calculation. In the past month, we've lost almost $2 trillion in market value. So if you take a step back, the U.S. Fed has said, we're going to be tough against inflation. Central banks around the rest of the world have said, we're going to be tough against inflation. So are we really that worried about inflation? I mean, central banks can stop inflation.
Well, it's fairly evident how this concern about inflation and interest rates affects the stock market. But you also have commodity prices are down, emerging markets are down, bond investors are nervous, the housing market stumbling a little bit. What's the overall picture?
What's happening is a shift in the market's focus, which is, when will the Fed stop?
So the concern really is that the Fed and other central banks will go beyond a tipping point and raise rates too high, too fast, and send economies into a tailspin?
Right. I think there are two concerns out there. One, the history of the Fed is that it goes a tightening too far. The other fear is the worry about the Bernanke crash. Go back to 1987. We had this new Fed chairman. His name was Alan Greenspan. He raised benchmark interest rate 50 basis points, and we had the Greenspan crash. Now we have Bernanke. He's out to prove that he's an inflation hawk. So I think within the markets themselves, it's, are we vulnerable to a Bernanke crash?
Personal finance expert Chris Farrell is economics editor for our weekend program, Marketplace Money. And I'm Tess Viglund. Thanks for being with us.
American Public Media.
It is exactly like when mom told you to eat.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.